Recently, UC Berkeley lost some valuable patents for the gene editing technique called CRISPR, even though one of its scientists won the Nobel Prize for the technology in 2020. The ruling is a financial blow to the university. It also raises interesting questions about who developed the science and when. I'm joined by KQED health reporter Leslie McClurg. Hello.
Hello.
So remind us first what CRISPR can do.
So the technology allows scientists to literally go inside cells and cut and reorder DNA. So it's a particularly powerful form of gene editing. I mean, some would argue that it gives scientists kind of like godlike powers to potentially treat and maybe even cure diseases. There aren't applications on the market yet, but there are some very, very promising clinical trials really demonstrating how CRISPR could revolutionize medicine.
And what did UC Berkeley lose?
Right. So it lost the right to some, definitely not all, but some of the most valuable patents that cover using CRISPR in humans and other animals. And the U.S. Trade and Patent Office determined that instead, Harvard's Broad Institute of Technology and MIT actually deserved those rights.
Sounds like a lot of money's at stake here. So what does that mean financially for UC Berkeley?
Right. It's not exactly clear, you know, what the dollar number will be, but some patent lawyers I talked to estimated it could be in the hundreds of millions, maybe even billions of dollars in licensing revenues. And plus, it's really going to hurt some of the biotech companies that purchased patents from UC Berkeley. They kind of bet on UC Berkeley because now those companies, companies like Caribou Biosciences and Intellia, they will have to purchase additional, very, very expensive licenses from the Broad MIT group.
And does UC Berkeley plan to appeal the decision?
It's really not clear what their next move is. So they've been in this kind of multi-year legal process. They could appeal the decision, but they haven't confirmed that yet. I talked to Ed Penhote. He's the Associate Dean of Biology at UC Berkeley.
You know, our hope is that this will all sort it out in an amicable way, because the most important thing in the long run is the benefit that will come to patients from use of this technology. And, we are highly motivated to make sure that whatever happens, the technology can move forward so people can be treated with this potentially life-saving technology.
Huh. So help me understand how Jennifer Doudna, a scientist at UC Berkeley, wins the Nobel Prize for CRISPR in 2020, but then loses some patent rights to use it.
Right. It's kind of confusing. I mean, one could argue that this decision reflects that the patent office believes that a scientist named Feng Zhang at the Broad Institute was the first person to get this technology, to get CRISPR to actually work in human cells. And therefore, he was the first inventor because he got it to work first. But the Nobel Prize Committee is not really looking at who gets the technology to work first. The committee is really interested in who conceives of a particular scientific discovery and who publishes about that first. And that was definitely Doudna.
So the ruling doesn't really tarnish the Nobel Prize here.
Not really. I asked that question to Jacob Shurko. He's a law professor at the University of Illinois, and he's followed the case really closely. And he says the patent office really reviewed in meticulous detail Jennifer Doudna's experiments, along with Emmanuelle Charpentier's. These two women together, they were awarded the prize. The office really looked at their work closely.
It was amazingly clairvoyant. It was amazingly diligent. I think, if anything, weirdly, the decision cements Jennifer Doudna and Emmanuelle Charpentier's deservedness as the Nobel Prize winners, not the contrary. I think what it does perhaps also do is illuminate, maybe in stark relief, the difference in standards that the Nobel Prize Committee is using relative to the patent office.
Huh. I guess that does seem like a real difference. Leslie, thank you.
Thank you.
That's KQED's health reporter, Leslie McClurg. You're listening to Morning Edition on KQED.